Who has the power to raise again? Who can save us from our sin? He is our hope, our righteousness. Jesus, only Jesus. Who can make the blind to see? Who holds the keys that set us free? He paid it all to bring us peace. Jesus, only Jesus.
Multiply to me there. This morning. We've already had a fantastic Sunday school hour, and we're ready to have a good worship hour. We're going to do things different today. We're going to have the Easter, actually not Easter, next week's Easter, but we're going to have the cantata. The choir has worked hard to prepare for us. Brother David and all that support this deal have worked at it, and so it's going to be good. Let me just go ahead and tell you ahead of time, it will run the most of the course of our time. By the time I get up here and preach, it's just going to be very, very brief lesson, so I don't want you to think, oh, the roast is going to burn. You can get there, okay? We'll get her in time. Let me go ahead and also, first of all, welcome our visitors. Thank you for being here. Some of you are first-time visitors, and we appreciate you choosing Bible Baptist this morning. Some of you have come back. That means you like us, and we're glad of that. And also, just want to just plant a seed right quick. We're going to have a fifth Sunday potluck meal this evening, so while you and your wife are kind of thinking about what you're going to do this evening, go ahead and plan to be with us, okay? Bring your favorite dish. If you can, bring just a little extra in case we have some guests with us that didn't bring a dish, and we'll have a good time. It'll be good food. It'll be 6 o'clock this evening back in Summer Hall, okay? And it's going to be great. So right now, we're going to go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing, and then we're going to turn it over to the choir, and it's going to be really good, really good. Okay? All right. Good deal. Blake Copeland, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you gave to prove your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory, to God. just let me live my life. Let it be pleasing, Lord, to thee. And should I get any praise, let it go to Calvary, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he has done with his blood. He has saved me with his power. He has raised me to God be the glory for the things he has done.
He has done great things.
He has done great things.
Who is this king? A man dragged in front of the crowds and city officials. A prisoner on display, beaten and scarred, mocked and humiliated. Hail, King of the Jews, spilling out from the ones who held him captive. Yet he did not say a word. Who is this king? A spotless lamb led to the slaughter, a savior nailed to a cross, stripped of his pride and left to die, a sacrifice surrendered to the dark so the light of the world would come. Who is this king?
There was a moment when the lights went out, when death had claimed its victory. The King of Love had given up his life, the darkest day in history. There on the cross they made for sinners for every curse His blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished, but not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake, and the veil was torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roared?
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Yes, He is the humble man, the suffering servant, the lamb slain. Yes, He is the one broken for the sins of the world, the one who came without sin to be sin for us. Who is this King? He is the Lion of Judah, the Son of Man, the Alpha and Omega, the perfect sacrifice. Yes, He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the matchless, eternal one who died and rose from the grave, seated at the right hand of God, the Father in heaven. And now Jesus, interceding for you and me, calls us to remember the day where His sacrifice made all wrong things right, the day King Jesus conquered sin and death, now and forevermore. Who is this King? His name is Jesus.
There was a moment when the sky lit up, a flash of lightning breaking through. When all was lost, He crossed eternity. The King of Life was on the move. For in a dark world too, slain, one miraculous breath may forever change.
Let every knee
the sky, pierced for our transgressions, Savior crucified, streams of crimson flowing from his hands and feet and side. Behold the wounds of God. Hallelujah! See the marks of mercy. Hallelujah! Grace for the unworthy. The everlasting proof of his love for me and you. Behold.
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's a sleeper. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sundays are coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father. Left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered, and Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard, and a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.
Light dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder working rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. So he let the soldiers take him in, as his friend betrayed him with a kiss. There before the crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Then he carried that cross to Calvary, and he shed his blood to set us free. 'Cause the nails went in and the sky went dark, the redemption of the world was on his heart. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday is coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday is coming. Then he breathed his last and bowed his head. The Son of God and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Let me tell you what happened next. The women came before the dawn to find that stone already gone. When they looked inside, the angel said, "Why you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive. He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive." Sunday's coming.
Don't lose hope.
Yeah, let the church sing that Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Now Jesus reigns upon the throne, all heaven sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. O church, arise, he's coming soon. He's coming soon. Oh, don't lose hope. We will see him soon. Oh, he's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high. Hallelujah, he's alive. He's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high. Hallelujah, he's alive. He's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high. Hallelujah, he's alive. He's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high. Hallelujah, he's
alive. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Good job. They worked very hard to prepare that, as they do every year, and also for our Christmas cantata. And we've got a great group and good looking group. They all colored matched and everything looked really good. And let me encourage you, I know Brother David would do the same thing. We would love for you to be a part of our choir if you've got time. Would love to. It's not about talent. It's not about how well you can sing. It's about participating and lifting your voices to the Lord. And we'll take you if you can do that, okay? And we'd love to have you be a part of that. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you so much for bringing us to the house of God tonight, or today. And we're so grateful, Lord God, that we can talk about a Savior that's alive and well. Lord, there's no grave to go visit. There's no body to be seen. We know, Lord Jesus, that you have risen for all eternity and you're alive and well in heaven. We pray, God, that you'll deal with the hearts of each and every person here today and help us each one to realize how wonderful a thing it is to have you live in our heart. Perhaps, Father, there'd be somebody here that's not familiar with Jesus. They don't know him yet. They've never received him as their Savior. I pray, Father, that you would just show them that today is the day for that. God, we ask your blessings over your word. Though it be brief this morning, Lord, we just pray that your power would be on display, Lord, and that you would be pleased with what takes place. And we'll ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 21. And I told you I would be very brief, and I will. I'm going to preach fast. You should be able to keep up because God gave you twice as many ears as he gave me a mouth to speak. And so you ought to be able to do good keeping up with that. Matthew 21. Today is what is known as Palm Sunday. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates that we're to observe this Sunday any different than we would other Sundays. Next Sunday is what we know as Easter Sunday. And that day we set aside to celebrate the resurrection. Of course, there's nothing scriptural that implies that we are to observe that day any different. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and that is every Sunday is the first day of the week. And so we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus every single week by worshiping him on that day. So I urge you to do so. However, holidays and traditions, they do develop over time, and they become a part of our culture, and for the most part, there's nothing harmful about them in principle. Therefore, there's not any harm in observing them as we do. Can they be observed in the wrong way? Of course they can. Christmas can be, and often does, become something that is human-centered and commercialized and these sort of things. And in that case, that's not good. But we as believers still are doing no harm by making it a time where our families recognize the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate it as such. So Palm Sunday, Easter Sunday, Christmas, whatever the case is, let's make sure we keep the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive plan at the center of those things and at the forefront of our mind. With that being said, we're going to read our text in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to begin in verse 6, and it says, "And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strung them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, 'Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.' And when they had come into Jerusalem, all of the city was moved." This is what we know, according to tradition, it's been entitled the Triumphal Entry. It's a picture of the pomp that is involved with the coronation of a king. Only with our king, King Jesus, as we would expect, it was much different. It was done in quite a different way. In most cases, it would be the crowning of a military hero, somebody, a great conquering soldier that has led the nation to a victory, and perhaps they're going to make him king. Other cases, it was a man who was the product of royalty. Somebody was just born, and they were the next in line, and they would be placed, whatever the case is, they would be placed on a big white stallion who would prance through all of the fanfare, and the new king would be wearing a gorgeous robe. And it would all be set up such that all the elite of society would be surrounding and would be in attendance. And it would be planned and choreographed to the extent that it would bring the most glory to the new king. It would be a celebration to be remembered. But instead, this was a very unplanned event. Jesus had not come from royalty, nor was he a military hero. He was placed on a young, untrained donkey which in itself would have resulted in a very sloppy, if not comical, commute from point A to point B. There was nothing regal about Jesus entering into Jerusalem. It was anything but triumphant. The multitudes placing their garments on the ground for the donkey to walk across was a picture of subservience. It was a gesture of homage that would soon reveal itself to have been nothing more than a shallow charade. The shouts of praise, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord," would soon prove to be mere noise and lip service. In a few short days, those words would be replaced with "crucify him." So what do we make of it? What can we learn from this text this morning on this Lord's Day, on this what we call Palm Sunday? I told you I would be brief, so let me leave you with this challenge. Jesus really is a king. He's the King of Kings. He's not a military conqueror as such, but he's a conqueror of sin. He's a conqueror of the devil. He conquered the death and the grave, and he can conquer the human heart. And it's up to you and I. It's up to us as individuals to crown him as the king of our lives. And in doing so, we should become more than just one person in a multitude of people that are giving lip service, but we should become actual servants of his. We should be actual subjects of his eternal kingdom, committed to him, to follow him when everyone else perhaps has walked away. Loyal beyond just the grand entry into our lives, but actually all the way past the gates of our heart into the everyday life that we live. Praising him, proclaiming his worthiness in everyday life. And when the rest of the world is making a mockery of him and denying his kingship, we should still be at his side praising him or following close behind. Friends, there's nothing better that you and I can do today than to make the sort of a commitment to Jesus that will last for all eternity. When Jesus was ushered into Jerusalem, it was the Passover week, Passover feast. So the city was surrounded. The city was congested with people, and all the surrounding area around Jerusalem was compacted with tens of thousands of people that made their way to Jerusalem for this feast. And scholars and theologians have estimated that the people who were involved with this triumphal entry, the ones who were enthusiastically praising Jesus as king and leading him in Jerusalem, it would have numbered perhaps in the thousands. It was a far greater, listen to this, it was a far greater multitude than any multitude had ever followed him from day to day during his earthly ministry. So in a nutshell, it was mostly people who were caught up in the moment, who were jumping on the bandwagon. Friends, I don't mean to sound critical, but every year, Easter Sunday, churches are packed with people. Many congregations will double in attendance on Easter Sunday. We have a pretty decent crowd from week to week. We usually have a really good crowd, and I'm thankful for that. But we'll be packed more next Sunday on Easter. Now, here's the question. Will you be here because Jesus is your king? Or will you be here because it's Easter? Because you jumped on the bandwagon. Sometimes we have to ask tough questions in order to arrive at tough truths that we need to face. So you answer that question yourself. Is he your king? Does he rule in your heart? Does he call the shots? Does he get your praise? Does he get your subservience? Do you bow to him in your heart and life? Only you can answer that question. I'm going to ask you to stand. We'll have a moment of invitation. It's still early yet. We're getting out of here right on time. If God's spoken to your heart about anything, you come. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I would love for you to step forward and come talk to me. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. I want to share with you what it means to receive King Jesus as your Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If God's spoken to you, come.
To follow Jesus.